A civilization is much more than just the contents of a few first-rate art galleries. It's a highly complex human organization. Its paintings, statues, and buildings may well be its most eye-catching achievements, but they are unintelligible without some understanding of the economic, social, and political institutions which devised them, paid for them, executed them, and preserved them for our gaze. Civilisation is a French word, first used by the French economist Henri-Robert Jacques Turgot in 1752, and first published by Victor Riquetti, Marquis de Mirabeau, father of the great revolutionary, 4 years later. Samuel Johnson, as the first epigraph to this introduction makes clear, would not accept the neologism, preferring civility. If barbarism had an antonym for Johnson, it was the polite, though sometimes also downright rude, urban life he enjoyed so much in London. A civilization, as the etymology of the word suggests, revolves around its cities, and in many ways it is cities that are the heroes of this book. But a city's laws, civil or otherwise, are as important as its walls. Its constitution and customs, its inhabitants' manners, civil or otherwise, as important as its palaces. Civilization is as much about scientists' laboratories as it is about artists' garrets. It's as much about forms of land tenure as it is about landscapes. The success of a civilization is measured not just in its aesthetic achievements, but also, and surely more importantly, in the duration and quality of life of its citizens. And that quality of life has many dimensions, not all easily quantified. We may be able to estimate the per capita income of people around the world in the 15th century, or their life expectancy at birth. But what about their comfort, cleanliness, happiness? How many garments did they own? How many hours did they have to work? What food could they buy with their wages? Artworks by themselves can offer hints, but they cannot answer such questions. Clearly, however, one city does not make a civilization. A civilization is the single largest unit of human organization, higher, though more amorphous, than even an empire. Civilizations are partly a practical response by human populations to their environments, the challenges of feeding, watering, sheltering, and defending themselves. But they're also cultural in character, often, though not always, religious. Often, though not always, communities of language. They are few, but not far between. Carol Quigley counted 24 in the last 10 millennia. In the pre-modern world, Ada Bozeman saw just 5, the West, India, China, Byzantium, and Islam. Matthew Melko made the total 12, 7 of which have vanished: Mesopotamian, Egyptian, Cretan, Classical, Byzantine, Middle American, Andean, and 5 of which still remain: Chinese, Japanese, Indian, Islamic, Western. Shmuel Eisenstadt counted 6 by adding Jewish civilization to the club. The interaction of these few civilizations with one another, as much as with their own environments, has been among the most important drivers of historical change. The striking thing about these interactions is that authentic civilizations seem to remain true unto themselves for very long periods, despite outside influences. As Fernand Braudel put it, civilization is in fact the longest story of all. A civilization can persist through a series of economies or societies. If in the year 1411 you had been able to circumnavigate the globe, you would probably have been most impressed by the quality of life in Oriental civilizations. The Forbidden City was under construction in Ming Beijing, while work had begun on reopening and improving the Grand Canal. In the Near East, the Ottomans were closing in on Constantinople, which they would finally capture in 1453. The Byzantine Empire was breathing its last. The death of the warlord Timur, Tamerlane, in 1405 had removed the recurrent threat of murderous invading hordes from Central Asia, the antithesis of civilization. For the Yongle Emperor in China and the Ottoman Sultan Murad II, the future was bright. By contrast, Western Europe in 1411 would have struck you as a miserable backwater, recuperating from the